News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center keeping up with us this morning, so we appreciate that. Our fabulous producer, so we appreciate that. On the news line with us now, movie Mike McGranahan, professional film critic, author, and women in cinema advocate, and slightly under the weather. Are you okay, buddy? You're hanging in there all right?
I'll tell you, Mark, as a sign of how sick I have been this week with the flu, I could not even watch any movies. What? I just could not pay attention to anything. That tells you I was very, very sick.
I don't think cinematic interest is a real list of symptoms or risk factors, but boy, that certainly is telling for you. I know your movie room is occupied a lot of probably about every day for at least a short time. So, all right, well, thank you for carving time out for us to talk to us this morning. Movie Mike McGranahan has got his review of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, please.
In Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Paul Rudd returns as the miniature superhero. He and his whole family are sucked into the submicroscopic quantum realm where they have to take on the evil Kang, played by Jonathan Majors. He's a megalomaniac determined to wipe out entire timelines in the multiverse to build his own power. These superhero stories are getting really corny. Quantumania is like 2 hours of the last 20 minutes of most Marvel adventures. What I mean is that these things usually end with a big chaotic finale where the central hero fights the bad guy in a huge explosion of CGI effects. In this case, the whole thing is pretty much a CGI explosion, which gets tiresome quickly. The core appeal of Ant-Man shrinking and enlarging everyday objects in the real world is tossed out the window in favor of keeping him in this ugly quantum realm. The story is weak, too, because too much time is spent introducing things designed to pay off in the next MCU movie, and the movie after that, and the movie after that. Rudd earns some laughs, Jonathan Majors makes a wonderfully menacing villain, and Bill Murray tears the roof off the place with an awesome cameo. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania is largely uninspired, though. If you don't have Marvel fatigue yet, you might after seeing this chapter. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2.5 Avengers.
All right, so 2.5 for the latest Marvel movie, and let's segue directly into one of your other topics that's coming up, then we'll get back to sort of the acting in Ant-Man and that sort of thing, is that you described it as a slow decline of Marvel movies.
I think so. I think that they have cranked out so many of these, and they have worked so tirelessly to connect everything together and to create this larger Marvel Cinematic Universe that it's running out of gas quickly. I was not a fan of Thor: Love and Thunder, which we got last summer. I was not a huge fan of Shang-Chi, which came out, I think, 2 years ago. That one was a hit, but I felt like it was just kind of repeating the same stuff. Of course, we had Eternals, which, for my money, is the worst Marvel movie. So I think that their batting average has really gone way down, and there are fewer really great Marvel movies lately, and far more that are mediocre or flat-out duds.
And why are they doing this? I think I know the answer to this one. Go ahead.
Money.
Okay, thank you.
I mean,
you.
These movies still make money at the box office. People are still very invested in them. But I think that we're definitely seeing signs of fatigue. They're starting to become repetitive. They're starting to cover the same ground. They're starting to all feel alike. And that was really the case here. I loved the first two Ant-Man movies because they were about him shrinking in the real world and then interacting with objects that were much bigger to him than they would normally be, and that was fun. But this is just him in the CGI world that's ugly to look at and a lot of special effects and not as much of that fun that you got in the other one. So it's so busy doing the Marvel business that it just really doesn't work on its own.
And who's in charge of this? I think of them as pretty closely tied to Disney, but what is who's the parent company?
Disney owns Marvel, but the big chief at Marvel is a guy named Kevin Feige, and he is the man who oversees and approves everything in the MCU. Now, what he's done, certainly from a filmmaking standpoint, commercially, is incredible. There's never been anything like the MCU before. But he's overseeing a lot, and they're just keeping this thing rolling with film after film after film. We get about 3 a year. This movie kicks off what they call Marvel Phase 5. So it, as the first film in that phase, it's setting up everything that's going to come in the next four or five Marvel movies. And there again, that's the problem. These movies have become so obsessed with doing the Marvel business and setting something up that's going to make the audience lose their minds two or three films from now. It's just wearing thin.
Well, and I'm going to fire him, and I'm hiring you as the new CEO. What's your first move going to be as the person in charge of the next Marvel Universe movie?
Honestly, I would probably run it into the ground. My instinct would be to make maybe one movie a year just to let people miss it a little bit. We don't get a chance to miss anything anymore. There's so much Marvel, not just in the movies, but on all these different TV shows. It's the same with Star Wars. You don't get to miss it. It doesn't go away for a while and let you, you know, kind of have the absence makes the heart grow fonder phenomenon. They just throw so much of it at you, and I think we need a break.
All right, so the current film that's out there, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, 2.5...
Avengers.
Okay, and can we say something noteworthy about that, that is fantastic? Sounds like one that would be good to see visually. It's pretty stunning in the theater.
I saw it in 3D. It definitely has some cool 3D moments. Some of the visual effects are surprisingly ugly, and there are rumors that Marvel diverted the effects teams away from this movie and on to Black Panther, and it definitely shows. This movie is not as good looking in the special effects department as the other Marvel movies. But I have to say again, Bill Murray has maybe a 5-minute scene in this movie, and he is fantastic.
All right.
That's the best thing in the movie for me.
All right, fantastic. Well, yeah, he's your guy. Okay, so look at some entertainment topics. Critics' Choice Super Award nominees. Now, tell us what they are, first of all, and who's earning them.
Yes, these are given out by those of us in the Critics' Choice Association, and these are to honor movies that generally do not get acknowledged during regular award season. Genre films, science fiction, horror, action, superhero. Warner Brothers' The Batman leads the film nominees for the third annual Critics' Choice Awards. It received 6 nominations, including Best Superhero Movie, 3 individual Best Actor in a Superhero Movie mentions for Robert Pattinson, Colin Farrell, and Paul Dano. Other favorites included the Indian action movie RRR, Avatar The Way of Water, Black Panther Wakanda Forever, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Top Gun Maverick. So again, these are to honor movies that may sometimes get into the Oscars and the other awards, but sometimes they don't. Again, we have a horror category, a science fiction category. You never see horror movies nominated for Oscars, so we're trying to give some love to high-quality films that tend to get overlooked.
Okay, well, just like the Marvel movies aren't, which is just superlative, the films that are nominated are superlative in their genre and are worth talking about, even though they might not stand up to some of the Oscar Best Picture films that may be out there. All right, well, fantastic. Well, keep us informed about that. When do the names of the winners come out?
The winners will be announced on March 16th.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Another red carpet event, right? Is that going to be a big deal?
They don't do a red carpet or a formal show. I believe it's done online.
All right. Fantastic.
We'll get on YouTube or their website, I believe, and watch it live.
All right. So one other thing to talk about in entertainment news, the Oscars are adding a crisis team. Tell us about that.
Yes, they had a big Oscars meeting this week, and the president of the Academy announced that in the wake of the Will Smith incident from last year, they have instituted a crisis team for the future. And the president of the Academy said, we did not respond fast enough in that situation, that they kind of got caught with their pants down, didn't know what to do, probably should have removed Will Smith immediately. And so to prevent that, they have now instituted a crisis team that will be prepared to handle any unpredicted event that happens during the Oscars. So now that I know that, I'm really hoping somebody pulls something this year just so we can see it in action.
All right, fantastic. Movie Mike, thank you so much for your reviews and all your information, keeping us up to date about entertainment, and always much appreciated, and feel better.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person next week.
All right. Sounds super. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. His Twitter handle, @aisleseat. Campus Theater is his sponsor, campustheater.org.